Welcome back. Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on here?
Yes, you are, sir. Go right ahead.
My concern, Madam Moderator, is the response of the business community towards the extension of, or the potential of an extension lockdown. And I would like them to not to put... refrain from putting profits ahead of the labor force of this country and allow the Minister of Health to make his recommendation as it relates to whether or not we should extend the lockdown. Because, you know, history will show that businesses and companies and countries, you know, at one time or other had came right down, hit the curb, and yet still, you know, rise again from the ashes, so to speak. So that is a concern that I have, because one of the leaders was recently quoted as saying that extension to the lockdown is not an option. So the question I'd like to ask that gentleman is if locking down is not what we would do if we don't lock down and the cases don't drop. So that is a big concern that should be...
May I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am.
So we're on pause. We are on pause for 2 weeks, right? So if we do extend the pause for another 2 weeks, let's just say we don't do what we're supposed to do and the cases rise again and rise and rise and rise. Businesses that employ people who then have to pay bills, who then have to feed their families. Do you understand the types of problems that may come as a result of doing something for so long?
Yes, I understand that, but
okay.
can we afford not to have a lockdown? I mean, not to have an extension if the cases don't go down. Because if, let's say, we preempt extension of the lockdown and everybody go back out to work, and then the cases continue to rise, then you still have the issue of low productivity because people will be getting sick and going into quarantine. So we should allow the Minister of Health to, you know, that is judgment call. Let him make that call, because it's all about the health. Because if you don't have a healthy workforce, the businesses can't operate. You don't have the maids, you don't have the janitors, the cleaners, the receptionists. So I think that the business community should allow the Minister of Health. That's what we elected him for. Let him make that judgment.
But what if, sir, the science, and if we follow the science, that if we wear a mask, we sanitize, we try to distance ourselves where possible, that we can then at least operate some of the businesses and allow for people to make an income. This is really up to the individuals, each and every one of us, the longer we shut down. So if we do things that allow for the spread of this virus, it takes a longer time for a country to recover. So I can understand what the gentleman is saying, the head of the business association, that he would hate to think that it can happen, because he understands that it's not about people making money at top. Maybe that's the case for some, but there are some people out there, businessmen, who genuinely are concerned about the well-being of their workers, if they're eating, if the family, you know, if they're okay. So if you do something, it's like you got to create a balance. I would say create a balance. And if you have to open back, you do it gradually, and in terms of, all right, we'll maybe drive-throughs would open up to allow Bajans to go out and get something to eat. Maybe. I'm not saying that's what they're doing. Maybe. But a gradual reopening is probably what they may look at. But to sit there and say, I've heard it before, that people putting money over livelihood over lives, they two go hand in hand. If you don't have money, then you're going to have problems for other things that can cost you actually your life. So, and cause problems and crime, and so many different things can happen. So let's just look at it in a balanced way.
I understand that, Madam Moderator. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, we have to also be realistic and recognize that we have a more contagious variant of this virus.
All the more reason why we got to protect.
We never walked this road before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's time that the business owners also need to take into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the more reason we need to wear the right gear to protect ourselves to minimize the spread. So even if we need to go out at the supermarket to do, go to the post office, go to the bank, we need to protect ourselves. That's, if you're going into the rain, you put on a raincoat, you use an umbrella. So anyway, let's get to the next caller, down to Brass Tacks. Hold on a second before I take this call. I have a message here. Pension checks were issued, and before we went on the pause, financial institutions were asked to honor them before the due dates as government was standing behind them. All places that normally cash were asked to honor them. And the PM and the Prime Minister and the Attorney General spoke about this repeatedly in a press conference. I do apologize if I missed that one. And some people obviously did, but I will repeat again. Pension checks were issued and before we went on lockdown, financial institutions were asked to honor them before the due dates as government was standing behind them. All places that normally cash were asked to honor them. So I hope this clarifies that for the caller and all those listening. Wondering what to do with the pension checks and what was happening, that clarification came from a government official. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Before I go into my point, as I mentioned to you last time on the air, my mom, she died at 92 years old. There are five of us, my mother and father. The youngest is approaching 50. I am approaching 70. At our ages, and my mother's age, none of us could break her house rules. None. Not one. Okay? When you enter her premises, you abide by her rules. And then talking into the terminated due to you about having a child and it coming in at X amount of time. Right? Now, that to say, the racing event that they had, the night racing event, was there a capacity growth at that event?
I have no idea.
It was well attended. Well, if it was well attended, whatever amount were there is the amount of reasons why this thing has spread, right? You welcome staff. Another reason. And they can go on and on. My question is, who allowed these things to happen? Was it Cole Williams? Was it Lester Bird? Was it Werner de Pisa? Or was it the Prime Minister or the Governor of Barbados? That's all I want to answer. I would like someone to have the to come and say who gave permission to it. I know I want you to go down despite the bad decisions. As I always say, I don't want the government to fail. Because anything the government fails, we fail. In this case, if the government fails, we die. I don't want that. I don't want it.
Let me, sorry for the sidebar here, because when you come, you're always very passionate, but I want to ask you something. Seeing that you're the person who does not sit and hold on to anything on the bus. No, you hold on to the rails, you stand, you don't sit. Are you taking the vaccine when it comes? When it's here, when it comes to your turn, I should say.
The answer is no.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
Right?
You know that you're not a young yam, though, right? Because I know you for years. And you're older than me, and I'm old.
I am 2 years away from 70, and speaking about that,
uh-huh.
I see what the government should do as far as this vaccine is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
People who work so hard for us, they should be the ones to receive it first. Then protect them.
I believe the vulnerable people will all be in that this batch, frontline workers and our elderly that are vulnerable. And I know you know, that's why I was saying, I know you not two mornings. So I was asking you, as having go way back with you, if you were taking the vaccine, and why not?
If the vaccine was coming from Cuba, everyone has to take it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people might not know this, but when it comes to medical science, Cuba is among the leaders in the world.
Do you know that about 60% of the world's vaccines come out of India, or probably over 60%?
Well, there's a lot of things I would like to say, but I'm going to say
it. No, but I'm just saying to you, all of the vaccines, a lot of the vaccines that we took back then and people are taking now come out of India. Here's the thing about wanting to know more about something you're being injected with, which is fine. I think you need to get information and you need to be informed. How many of us go to our doctor and he says, okay, I'm writing your prescription? Half the time you can't really understand what he's writing because doctor's got their own little writing. But we believe in our doctors enough to know that we go to the pharmacy and we take that medicine. So if your doctor tells you, because you want to ask questions and you say, am I a candidate? Should I take this vaccine? And he's saying to you, well, I really think that you should, because you do have hypertension and you've got diabetes, or, you know, and they've seen some underlying issues. If your doctor recommends that you take it, how come we are hesitant to do that, but we're not hesitant to follow the doctor's instructions for other things?
My doctor would tell you that many times I met him, and he asked me, what are you not getting medication? What are you scanning me for? What are you not getting medication? I said, for no wrong me. Having found out around me because of my mother. Now,
You fall under the category of very unique then, because you. But if you don't want to take the doctor's medication, then you should self-diagnose. You should go on the internet, find out what's wrong with you, and then go to get help from family.
Right. You read that? You read? Nah, I'm joking. Right? You hold on a minute, right? You talk about medical things. All these centuries that we are now celebrating, and we walk about boasting that we have the health of the centurions, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And they're born yesterday. They're born 100 years ago, right? And they survive. You know what they survive? You know, we have a virus that attack your immune system. If you see the rain falling, unless you're a mama, you can go in the rain and don't expect to get wet. If you're something is attacking your immune system, okay, if something's wrong, your camera is going to change your screen. So it's obvious what you should do is use things to boost your immune system.
That is also important, and that is also a conversation that is not even related to only COVID. A lot of us need to get healthy. But I give you the last word. I have a full board, and I have some messages here to read. So go ahead quickly.
The reason I want to take the vaccine, I've been hearing too many interpretations of it. And you know what? Everyone's so convincing. So I'm in a confused state of mind.
Well, I can tell you what to do, right? You got my number. We could reason and do high reasoning this afternoon. Call me this evening after 5, and you and I can talk vaccine on the phone. But I got to take these other calls, and I'm sure by the time we finish talking that you would have some information, because I'm planning to get more information after the show as well. There's a writer here says on my phone, dear Ms. Haig, I am a nurse. I'm in a total agreement with you that we should not look at the word hazard pay or the whole concept of hazard pay, but rather go to our unions and discuss an increase and state to them that we would like to have a little bit more money to ease us financially so that we can do our job more effectively. And that's coming from a nurse. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air. Good morning, Brass Tacks.
Good morning. Am I on the air?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, two communication issues. One, yesterday on the dashboard it says 82 persons tested positive. 9 were at Harrison Point. Where were the other 73?
No. Let me pull the communication out. That's not what it said. But now that we're on the subject, no, getting some feedback. Let me just get, no problem. I have a question though about newly positive or old case for the night. I'm getting feedback, sir. Don't know if it's your phone.
No, I don't. I'm not anything out at all.
All right.
Yes.
So you're asking where the other, but they were all transferred to Harrison's Point.
No, they said nine. The communication I read said nine were already at Harrison Point, but they said nothing about the other 73.
All right, you hold on. Let me. We'll find this and we will. Are you taking the vaccine while I go and locate this?
No, let's worry about the vaccine. I got some issues other than vaccines. I'm not worried about vaccine yet. When it comes to me, I will make that decision. No.
All right, there were 82 new positive cases of COVID-19 recorded on Monday, February 8th.
Good.
These cases include positive results from January 29th to the 31st, right?
Right.
Now, we stick a pin there. I wanted to ask, cited what you asked, if the 82 cases also included the first, second, third, or these are only cases of 82 cases between the 29th to the 31st. All right, I'll leave that there, and I know someone is listening that will answer. Situations like this may occur occasionally as the Best Dos Santos Public Health Laboratory continues to try to clear the backlog created due to the use of manual extraction in the processing of samples. The Ministry of Health and Wellness is taking measures to have this issue rectified in the short term, with the automated extractor reagent expected to arrive within a week. All right, put that one side. The laboratory conducted 545 tests yesterday. Now, note this came out yesterday, so we're talking about Monday. And a total of 43 persons recovered and were discharged from isolation. This brings the number of active cases in Barbados to 324. Two more persons were added to the list of those who have died from the viral illness. And it went on to say a 53-year-old woman and a 67-year-old man. Both of them suffered from chronic non-communicable diseases. The COVID-19 death toll now stands at 20. The 82 positive cases comprise 45 women and 37 men. Nine of them had already been at Harrison's Point isolation facility, undergoing assessment to determine whether their positive PCR test result showed that they were in fact newly positive or whether they had COVID-19 in the past and were no longer infectious. So, had been already at Harrison's Point would indicate to me, yes, sir?
Nine were already there.
Correct.
No, 19 of the 73.
Within the total.
Clarity. Right. That would bring it. So, where are the other 73?
All right, but let me read this again. The 82 positive cases comprise 45 women and 37 men. Nine of them had already been. In other words, these are in all of them together, but you see these nine? These nine were in question as did they were a new case, or is it that they had COVID from before and they were no longer infectious? Maybe they could explain that part, but I don't think that all of them talking about.
I don't want you to think. I just want these people.
No problem. No problem. And we get any clarification.
And say, well, where were the other 73? You ain't want no speculation. Secondly, no. When I listen to...
Stick a pin. When you see the dashboard and it tells you new cases and the amount goes up in isolation, I will assume that when they tell you these amount of cases, including that 82, brings it to the 300 and whatever it was, let me scroll back, to 324 in isolation on the dashboard. Would it not tell you that they're in isolation?
I want clarity. That's what I'm saying.
So the dashboard is not clear. Okay, no problem.
Clarity. That's why the narrative, even the narrative that was there, didn't provide clarity. So I'm just asking.
No problem. I was just throwing that one.
To all of that you have repeated.
Mm-hmm.
I read that.
And subject to interpretation. All right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just want clarity. Secondly, now I listened to the issue with the nurses and I heard the hierarchy, Juliet Bynum-Sutherland, the executive director, et cetera, speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it seems as though, to me, now this is where it seems to be, in terms of communication problem again, were the nurses on the, let's say on the ground, were they in on the plan? Then you have a plan normally and you don't get buy-in from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. You can get the problems you're getting now where some of the nurses obviously are not understanding in terms of the PPE, et cetera. That's what has come over, given what they're saying and what the voice notes, whatever, is that are going around. Mm-hmm. It seems as though they were not in on the plan. So you know you're going to get these problems. So again, is a, in my view, a problem of communication in terms of do the nurses really understand their role and how they would get the PPE to do their work effectively? Because
mm-hmm.
there seemed to be a problem because the hierarchy speaking, this head nurse, the next head nurse, but the people who are actually on the ground seem not to have had the same communication passed down to them.
But how do you know that?
I said, I just told you, based on what some nurses are saying and based on what the
But no, but what I'm asking you, from where? Where do you hear what the nurses, where did the nurses come out to say?
I just told you, I said voice notes. I know nurses as well, voice mm-hmm. notes.
Okay.
The head of the mm-hmm. Union mm-hmm. are saying what the nurses are saying to him. Obviously, there has to be some communication problem. Or, as I said, whenever the strategy was laid out, they mm-hmm. did not include the people on the ground so that they would know what their role in this is mm-hmm. and what PPE is available and how.
Mm-hmm. May I say something to you, sir?
Of course.
All right. Okay. There is a problem with internal communication, I find, right across the board, not only just government. And there's also a problem with the interpretation of what people say and what it means to the individual on the receiving end. This is why the English language really should be very simple, really, really simple and spelled out, and don't assume that everybody knows what you're talking about. The mere fact that you asking these questions, it just takes one person to misunderstand, then to tell somebody else something, and then somebody else tells them and gets the whole thing distorted. Why I ask you about the nurses, because voice notes were circulating about a sick out. I don't listen to voice notes and believe what I hear unless I get the facts. No, I'm gonna know because I want to share something with you. You said you know nurses too, which is fine. You may have this from a personal information that you may have, but I find that we have an information issue, not just because when people say something. And the interpretation is incredible. How everybody hears what you say. The tone of your voice is important. Keeping it simple is important. And being credible also, who's ever saying it, is also important. I don't know if I want to believe a voice note from anybody, and I don't know who the person is, was one. A voice note was issued, and something else was issued from the Nurses Association, disassociating themselves with that particular voice note. Are you aware?
Yeah, they have to.
Right?
They have to.
Okay. So would you say that the voices of one or two or three nurses, now please nurses, don't get me wrong, one person in distress is too many. Everybody needs to be heard and everybody should be treated fairly. But let me explain something to you and the public and your public. When one man keeps noise, it does not mean that everybody feels the same way. Always remember that. Always remember that. Because I have friends who are nurses. I have my family. I got nurse families. My family, one of them, they work at the QEH. And I can tell you that not everybody feels that way. But I'll tell you this. I think everybody believes that they can get some more money. I think we all can. And I certainly would be in front of the line to help the nurses advocate for a little bit more of appreciation, whether that be a pat on the back and given financially. I'm not for the hazard because I believe a hazard pay is a one-off. I believe that the nurses need to have a peace of mind, at least a little bit of an ease, so they can give their all at the QEH, and we need to back them. Corporate Barbados, Barbadians, we need to back them as much as we can. Not necessarily only about money, about keeping quiet too, and keeping safe, and keeping COVID out from the hospital. There's so many things. So I said all of that to say this, the interpretation of information is important, but what we believe and what we share is equally important. There's too much fake news out there. And when people say things about the QEH hospital, for example, and they say bad things, guess what has happened? The nurses will be like, oh no, that's not us. The patients then start to panic. The family of the patients know one of this is true. And then the nurses are so stressed out, then they can't come to work. You understand how wrong information can cause a domino effect?
Yeah, but that's why we always need clarity.
I agree.
Because, all right, a mom might come to you.
We got to take a break. Oh, okay. Caller, are you still there? Sir?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, sir. Let's continue the conversation. Yes.
Yes. What I'm saying is this. Now, in life, you might lose your parent or I might lose mine. Somebody comes along and says to you, I know how you're feeling, but they don't know the relationship between my parent and myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, everybody that is feeling pain is feeling a different pain. So one nurse might feel one thing and be okay with it, but another person's situation is completely different. So they're not walking in that person's shoes. So the person...
I agree. We're on the same page. But pain is pain, by the way. They're just different levels of it, but pain is still pain.
Various degrees of pain. So
exactly.
If the person cries out, mm-hmm. then you got to listen to
No, I think that if one person cries out is one too many, don't get me wrong. I think that I'm trying to actually try to help the nurses by saying hazard pay is a one-off. Wear the PPE, it's important, but then there's an issue of they're saying, and this is right across the board, that some are saying that they may have some challenges getting the PPE. The QEH has come out and indicated that they have more than enough. So you have to see where the bottleneck is and if one or two people are not being given this equipment that is needed. Is it everybody? Is it one or two? The point is one too many. But what I'm saying is it just takes one person to keep noise about their situation and a genuine situation. But we just can't assume that everybody else feels the same way.
That's, it can't ever be everybody.
No, but but the communication that goes out, when you hear voice notes, even when they come on brass tacks, it would make people feel that if this is so everybody, and it may not be everybody. So I'm just saying that there may be individual cases that need to be addressed.
People having problems.
They are. Listen, the nurses had problems before COVID. Let me be clear. The nurses were under pressure before COVID. They are under more pressure now.
If you give one set a hazard pay, you're opening a door that you cannot close.
This is why, sir, I'm saying the nurses, and by extension, the healthcare officials, but I'm dealing with nurses now first because they really hold up the system in a way that you and I probably can do, and I take my hat off to them. Why not look at it as an appreciation payment for the extra work that has to be done and ask for something that is continuous as opposed to the one-off? Because if you don't ready PPE and you get COVID, I want to see how the hazard pay can help. It ain't gonna help you or nobody. But if you ask for, because that's basically what it is, you know, people just want a little bit more money, which is fine. Are they worth it? Yes, they are. In my opinion, yes, they are. Should it be a little fair increment? Yes. Should they have a little extra to go and get a little manicure and go and get a massage? Of course. Should we do all that we can in these times, and I mean these times, to relieve some of their stress so that they can look after me, Dennis, you? Because there are other patients in the QEH is not COVID. Yes, there might have been cases of COVID, but QEH has a bigger task. Dialysis, heart, diabetes, asthma, you name it. These nurses are dealing with every ailment under the sun. But I do not subscribe to anyone sending out these types of voice notes. There are people who felt offended by it. They're nurses because they're giving the public now the impression, and some people have written to me and I wouldn't read it because some people in a nutshell feel that well, who these nurses feel they are, they're holding the country to ransom. There are some people who feel that. And the nurses are probably saying to themselves, I would never do that. They want to help you. They signed up for this. But they just need for somebody to listen and to see if there's something that can be done to ease the pressure. That's all. Ease the pressure. So I hear say making a plea for the nurses today, not for the hazard pay. Certainly don't subscribe to a mental health day, whatever they want to call it. The public need you. The people in Barbados need you. The patients need you. And I know the nurses know that. But they got to sit down and work something out eventually to see how best we can ease some of their stress, especially at home. You know what it's like for you to have to go to work, deal with a lot of stress, and then realize that you can't afford X, Y, or Z, or something wrong with your own child, or some problems in your marriage. I mean, we can't fix all, but and we certainly would not even attempt to do that. But there may be one or two things that we can give them an ease, and I will give you the final word, sir.
Yeah, I just hope somebody brings clarity to those issues I've raised. Mm-hmm. Just clear things in my mind.
Okay, sir.
All right. Thank you
so much.